Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. I'm Steve Kenyon, coming to you this week from Auburn, California, the Gold Country Pro Rodeo. It's one of four rodeos going on around the country, around the state of California this weekend. This is actually a pretty busy rodeo weekend. The big George Paul Memorial Bull Riding going on in Del Rio, Texas. Clovis, California, maybe one of the biggest rodeos of the year in the state of California, getting underway. Roscoe Jarbo won the Extreme Bull Riding to kick off the rodeo in Clovis. You can find out more at prorodeo.com, and of course we'll keep an eye on it on our Facebook pages. So last week I told you that I had an announcement about something we're planning to do this week, and we're putting the finishing touches on all of this. We're going to start a subscription site. We're going to give you an opportunity to get early access to podcasts, to get greater access to videos, mini documentaries about some of the rodeos that I'm involved with that I'll be announcing, stories that catch my eye, and we will get all of that put together in the next couple of weeks. But I just want you to know that 8 Seconds Media Extra is around the corner, and we will go there very, very soon, and I'll give you more details on all of that next week, but it should be really fun, and we've put together a lot of stories already about some legends, some Hall of Famers, what's happening in Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas, things like that, and we will share all of that with you on the subscription side. 8 Seconds Media Extra, coming soon. And I hope you'll think about maybe joining us. It will not be very expensive. And we'll give you more details next week and announce some of the minutia of all of that coming your way very, very soon. Today's program, we're going to highlight the professional bull rider. Sean Gleason will join us, the CEO of the PBR. PBR World Finals are right around the corner. And we'll talk about what's about to happen in Corpus Christi, Texas, both with the PBR's Velocity Tour Finals and Rodeo Corpus Christi, which is the next big WCRA million-dollar possible event. Stephanie Fryer from Waco, Texas, is million-dollar eligible as she gets ready to barrel race in Corpus Christi. And that will set up the final team for Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo May 17th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. The coach of that team, that final team, the Free Riders, Bobby Moat, will join us and talk about how his team's going to be put together based on the top performers in Corpus Christi. They've drafted the other five teams for Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. We've talked a lot about that, so we'll get into all of that coming up. Rodeo in San Angelo, Texas just came to an end. Dylan Hancock, a big performance. He's from San Angelo. He's a 20-year-old tie-down roper. They love their tie-down roping in San Angelo. Dylan Hancock won the rodeo. Rodeo he grew up dreaming of winning. I talked to Dylan Hancock about it.
Yes, sir. It was for sure a dream come true. I've been going there for quite a while now and watching it, and finally get a chance to mix it up and have a chance to win it, and getting it done, it was sure special.
Yeah. So tell me about your hometown of San Angelo, Texas. We talk a lot about San Angelo because not just of the really growing rodeo that they have, but then the roping fiesta in the fall. How big a deal is tie-down roping in San Angelo?
Well, they call San Angelo the calf roping capital world. It's pretty big to them. They love calf roping. They love rodeo. It's a blast for sure.
So talk to me about your last run. You were the fourth callback. So does that mean you were ninth coming in out of the top 12 and you jumped all the way up and won it with a 7.8? Tell me about that short round.
Yes, sir. We kind of had not the best calves in the first two go rounds and kind of had to battle back and had the very best calf in the short round and made a great run and just kind of put my run down and had to let them come get me, and a lot of guys had some tough luck and ended up getting the W.
Did you think it was going to hold up when you finished that last run and you were 7-8? Did you think it was going to be enough?
Not a chance. I was thinking third at the best, probably fourth or fifth, but it worked out in my favor. Like I said, some guys had some tough luck and it worked out in my favor.
Tell me about your horse, Dylan. What horse did you ride?
So in the first two go rounds, I rode my good bay horse, Earl, and then my traveling partner, Riley Webb, he ended up letting me on his good horse, Rudy, while my horse was in California. We had to fly in for the short round. So that horse, I guess he got him last summer. Man, he's lights out. He's so easy, and he's as good as they come.
So let's talk a little bit about your You mentioned your traveling partner, Riley Webb, and you mentioned Clovis. You had luck in Clovis, too. You had a – financially, you had a big weekend this weekend. I'm thinking 12,000 out of San Angelo, another five or six out of Red Bluff, I think. And that turned into a pretty good weekend for you, didn't it?
Man, it was great. We've been having some tough luck here lately, and this is glad to get it turned around and headed in the right direction.
Yeah. Tell me about the logistics that you guys manage with you got three tie-down ropers and a breakaway roper, I think, in the rig is the way I understand it. You and Riley and Cole Clemens and then Josie Connor. Getting horses from place to place and maybe having to jump on an occasional airplane, how do you handle all that?
It's a lot. Thank gosh for Riley and Josie. Me and Cole would be in a situation without them. Josie does a lot of planning. Riley, he does a lot of ahead of time planning, and it's me and Cole, we would be in a bind without them for sure.
So basically, is it okay? Josie says, okay, we're going here next. Who does the entering?
That's pretty much. Riley, he does the entering for us. He's good at that, and he's really good at that. So he takes care of that, and me and Cole just tag along pretty much.
So let me ask you about that rig, because we talked about that. Dirk Webb, Riley's dad, gave us a little tip today, a story that we did on Monday on Western Sports Roundup. Between the four of you, I don't even know if you know this, Dylan, between the four of you, since the rodeos in Logandale and Oakdale started April 11th, your truck has won $72,000.
Yes, sir. We've had a blessed couple weeks, and man, it's been awesome.
What are you doing in Clovis? Are you team roping too?
Yes, sir. Me and Riley are team roping, and we're calf roping. We've been practicing up today, trying to get our run figured out on some muleys, but it ought to be fun.
So let me ask you about what you've learned over the last year or two. You know, as a rookie, as a permit holder, you're going to a lot of places you maybe have never been before. Now you've got at least a year or two under your belt. What do you know about rodeo, and how are you a smarter cowboy than you were before?
I feel like you learn to – there's going to be a lot of highs and lows. You just kind of ride it out and keep your head down and stay positive and just put God first, and it'll all be good at the end.
Dylan, you had a heck of a rookie year last year. You won almost $75,000. You were the Resist All Rookie of the Year. You were at least knocking on the door to go to the National Finals Rodeo. What do you remember about your rookie year in 2023?
It was awesome. It was everything I've ever thought about or dreamed of, just getting to go to a different place every day and rope calves for just all summer long, and it was everything a little kid would dream of for sure. Yeah. It was awesome.
So whose horses are you riding in Clovis? I know that you've got to ride what's out there. I don't know if you've tried to ship anything from Texas. And there are four rodeos in California this weekend. So what's your schedule this coming weekend?
So I have my good bay horse out here, Earl. He's been out here. I rode him at Red Bluff, and then we'll ride him at Clovis. And then we also entered up at, I think we go to Lakeside on Thursday and maybe Auburn on Friday, I believe. So. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we'll be in the progressive rounds and the short round over here at Clovis. So hoping for another good week.
If you're right on your schedule, I'll see you Friday. I announce the rodeo in Auburn. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there. Last question. You're still in college, right? How does that all work?
Yes, sir. I still go to Cisco College. Just juggling back and forth. Just trying to get school done and rope and fly back and forth to the college rodeos. It's not the easiest thing, but we've been getting it done. Had some tough luck this year at the college rodeos. Didn't make the college national finals, but it's been good. Don, Ed, and Pam at Cisco there, they've been great to me and helped me out a lot for sure.
Yeah. Dylan Hancock just won the rodeo in San Angelo, Texas, and it's a big deal. I think I can say this is biggest win so far of your young career, especially because it was your hometown rodeo in front of your hometown crowd. What do you remember about the crowd response as that tie-down roping was going on? You finish your run, and then eventually Boyd Polhamus tells the crowd that you're the champion. What do you remember about the audience?
Man, they were pretty loud when I was walking in the box when he was announcing my name, and I thought they was loud then. When I threw my hands up, it was like boom. It was crazy. Yeah. It was a feeling that I'll never forget for sure. It was pretty special.
Awesome. Dylan, congratulations, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Number 13 in the world standings the last time I looked, and he might have jumped a spot or two with all the money that he won in Red Bluff and San Angelo over the weekend. This is tie-down roper Dylan Hancock, the reigning Resist-All Rookie of the Year, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be watching him out of that yellow roping box in Las Vegas in December. Time will tell. Dylan, keep it up. Good luck. Travel safe. We'll see you in California this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Tie-down roper Dylan Hancock just won the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo, his hometown rodeo, now number 13 in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association's World Standings. Steve Kenyon Podcast brought to you by Wrangler, Long Live Cowboys, by the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879. Thanks to Resist-All, the best all around, to Equinity, it's all about the horse, and to Prefert, number one in ranch and rodeo. Unbeatable Feeds, log on to the unbeatablefeeds.com website, find a dealer near you, to M2 Ranch Jerky, coming soon, and to the Gooding Pro Rodeo in Gooding, Idaho. That's August 14th through the 17th. Are you beer worthy? Come join us at the Gooding Pro Rodeo. We're going to take a timeout, come back, and we'll get into our Classic Ropes, Classic Equine featured interview of the week. That's on the way on the Steve Kenyon Podcast.
Hey, y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler. Long live Cowboys.
New styles join our time-tested Justin Bent Rail collection, like the rugged men and women who wear them. These boots stand for quality, integrity, tradition, and hard work. Straight from our legendary El Paso factory, our expert bootmakers build these boots with features that would make even the earliest cowboys proud. Outfit yourself today with a Bent Rail collection by Justin.
Cowboying is in our blood. Cowboying is in our bruises. It's in our rain-soaked jackets. In our calloused hands, tested by barbed wire and rope. Our mud-stained boots to the crown of our Resist-All hat. You live out west for even the shortest time, and there's one thing you learn. You can't pretend out here. Resist-All. We live it every day.
Hi, I'm Trevor Brazil, 26-time PRCA World Champion Cowboy. If you want to keep your horse at the top of their game, you need to have the Equinity Edge. I use Equinity because it's all about the horse. It helps with the longevity and overall maintenance of my horses. Team Equinity is challenging you to try Equinity Horse XL for the next 30 days and beyond. Watch how your horse transforms both in look and feel. To do this, go to TeamEquinity.com to get started.
Thanks for joining us on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. Fort Worth, Texas, and Arlington, Texas. The Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth seats about 2,500 people. AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the biggest professional football venue in the country, I think. And they're both getting ready to do the same thing here coming in the month of May. Play host to part of the Professional Bull Riders World Finals. The PBR Finals will start at Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas, and will end at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Sean Gleason is the CEO of the PBR. He sat down with me for a special interview for 8 Seconds Media Extra, and we had a chance to talk about the PBR's involvement now in the Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas. I love telling stories, and one of the best stories you can tell is Fort Worth, Texas, Cowtown Coliseum. Gentleman sitting next to me is Sean Gleason. You see him all the time at professional bull riders events, the CEO of the PBR. And the PBR has developed, Sean, I think the fun thing about talking to you about stockyards, the PBR has developed a real presence here. This has become something that you are very much involved with.
Yeah, Craig Cavalier with Majestic and the Stockyards Heritage Group approached me several years ago and asked me that what they should do if they got the contract to manage Cowtown Coliseum. And I said, let's put a lot of great events on, and helped bring a lot of entertainment value to the district that was going under its redevelopment. And we've done that. We bring we've got the rodeo every Friday, Saturday, but we've added UBF, Ultimate Bullfighters. We've added PBR on Thursday nights. We've added Cowgirl Gathering and Bill Pickett Rodeo and Mexico in Our Blood and a series of events that reoccur down here. And they're great events. We cleaned up the Cowtown Coliseum, put in a lot of new production equipment, and we're putting on high-quality entertainment, and it works.
It's amazing what it taken down the old curtain that was up above the bucking chutes and a fresh coat of paint and cleaning up all the – I mean, it just – it sparkles in there now.
You know, we when we started it, that curtain was up and the wind was blowing, and a lot of our production staff almost got hurt when a window busted in because of high winds. And, you know, we looked around and really saw the potential in there of cleaning up that space. And now it's the coolest VIP area on the planet for an event venue like this. And put in a lot of production equipment, big screens, better sound systems, lighting. Kept the charm of the Cowtown Coliseum. That was one of the goals, was keeping that place historic. The minute that, you know, I first walked into that venue years and years ago, you know, just you're overwhelmed with the history of what's gone on since 1908. We didn't want to lose any of that, but we wanted to bring it into the modern age and make it a great entertainment experience. And so it's sparkling.
I hope what I'm about to say makes sense. The PBR has broken through a lot of barriers, putting on traditionally Western events, bull riding in places like New York and Chicago, and here the challenge was different, I think, wasn't it? The challenge was to maintain the history, the heritage, and the tradition, and bring the 120, 130-year-old building, the one that was built in 1908, into 2024 and still maintain that heritage and that charm? Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we go to Madison Square Garden or crypto.com in LA, it's definitely a different challenge. You've got to take the cowboy hat and the Western lifestyle, and you've got to speak to people on their terms so that they don't feel like they're outsiders. You got to invite them in. You got to invite them into the world. And a lot of rodeo history and heritage is those people shouldn't come. That's not our motto. I mean, our motto is bring new people into the sport and into the lifestyle. Here in Cowtown, they want that more authentic experience. They want to feel like they're in a historic building. They want to feel like they're stepping back in time. But you still have to make them feel welcome, and you still have to entertain them. So when you put up great big screens and great sound systems and give them an entertainment experience where they can actually hear the announcers, and doesn't smell like pee in the venue, you know, just they're not revolutionary changes. They're just modernizing the building while keeping the charm. And so everybody that walks in that building gets an experience that, if they're not in the Western lifestyle and living in that space, they feel like they were for a day.
Sean Gleason, the CEO of the PBR. We've got more with Sean Gleason coming up on our YouTube channels and also on 8 Seconds Media Extra. We'll talk a lot about the upcoming PBR World Finals over the next couple of weeks on the Steve Kenyon podcast and on our social media. By the way, our Facebook page has really blown up, and thank you for all the people that have kept an eye on what we've been doing on social media. So let's talk about what's coming up next week. PBR's Velocity Tour Finals will be in Corpus Christi, Texas, and Buck Days Rodeo is about to hit Corpus Christi. Rodeo Corpus Christi is a WCRA major event. Rodeo Corpus Christi is the next WCRA Triple Crown of Rodeo event, and barrel racer Stephanie Fryer is eligible to win perhaps $1 million if she can win the rodeo in Corpus Christi. The complete schedule is on the Buck Days website. If you'd like to find out everything that's going on there, it's buckdays.com, or you can go to the WCRA's website, the World Champions Rodeo Alliance. The other thing that's going to happen in Corpus Christi is the top performers in Corpus Christi will get an automatic opportunity to be part of a team called the Free Riders that will be competing May 17th at AT&T Stadium in Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. Bobby Mote, the man in charge of the WCRA, and Lindsay Rosser Sumpter, who is the commissioner of the Women's Rodeo World Championships, we talked to Lindsay a week ago, are the coaches of the Free Riders. And I talked to Bobby recently, actually before the draft for Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo, about what to expect from his team and how that team is going to have a chance to compete against those teams that have now been drafted by the other five coaches getting ready for Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. Here's what Bobby Mote had to say. Thanks to Classic Equine and to Classic Rope. Success is in your hand. Classic Rope, Classic Equine. We are Classic Equine. Play to win. Here's Bobby Mote from the WCRA. Joined by Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame inductee Bobby Mote, the man who is in charge of the WCRA, and a big event coming May the 17th to AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It's called Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. Bobby is one of the coaches. And Bob, welcome. It's good to talk to you. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Why did it matter to you and to the WCRA to get involved in this event with Kid Rock and the PBR?
Well, you know, I think that all along we've been searching for ways that we can help rodeo without radically making changes, but making the adjustments and the things that we felt like benefited the most people. And a lot of our focus has been on the challengers and the up and comers and giving them a platform to have the opportunity and the experience that we've been able to provide for them. So that's been fun. And when this opportunity came up, so PBR, a little backstory, they're in their third year of PBR teams. We went to the first finals in Vegas, the PBR teams, and we, leaving there, talked to Sean Gleason, the CEO of the PBR, and said, if there was any way to do this in rodeo, we'd like to be involved. Because it'll take place in a season, when team rodeo actually is a thing. It can take place during a season. People don't have to be seasoned rodeo fans to follow it and understand it. And so part of our mission is to, expand rodeo's footprint. Well, how do you do that? You gotta get in front of different groups of people, and you're not going to get that just at your county fair and traditional rodeo, but, you harness that with the power that PBR has with their affiliation with Endeavor, where they have access to A-list performers, the best venues, the best everything. And so, no doubt Kid Rock's got fans that there's crossover and things that we believe and appreciate, but they're not rodeo fans, or there's rodeo fans that aren't Kid Rock fans. There's probably fewer of one than the other, because I think a lot of people are Kid Rock fans. So all of those things, sort of come together, and hats off to the PBR for putting this really cool event together. It works out well with their new PBR World Finals format, that this thing can slip right in there on Friday night. And from every ticket report that I've heard, this thing is going to be full, which is really going to be exciting. Now, I want to just be clear, they're doing some construction there at AT&T. And so the home side is part of the home side is going to be curtain, which the back of the stage will be to, but you're still playing to 3/4 of the house. And that's a lot of people. And so it's going to be a really cool environment for the rodeo. And I can just dive into what is exciting about it. There's $1 million going to be paid out that night, which is great in rodeo. And it's almost gotten to the point like, okay, $1 million. Now what else? Okay, well, here's where it gets really exciting. Head-to-head competition. So the arena, if you've seen the football field at AT&T, 100 yards, right? So the arena is going to take up the majority of the 100-yard field. And in the back, if you're on the visitor side looking straight across at the 50-yard line, is going to be the stage. And then there's basically going to be effectively an arena on each side of the stage. And so the timed events will be coming right at you. Okay. So there'll be a timed event box and shoot on each side of the stage. And there's going to be, just like in drag racing, there's a red light, yellow light, green light. And when the light turns green, the time starts, the gates open, both the way the format is it's a bracketed format. And so it'll just be one team against another team, their tie down ropers. They'll go simultaneously. Light turns green, chute comes open, both calves leave. Pretty easy to understand. The first time to get their calf, or first person to get their calf tied will win in advance, right? So same thing with the barrel racing, same thing with the steer rope, steer wrestling, same thing with the team roping. The bareback ride and the saddle bronc ride and the breakaway rope, and don't want to leave that out. And the same thing in the with all the timed events. And so then in the bareback ride and saddle bronc ride, just can be really fast paced. There'll be a bracket between Joe and Jim. He'll ride, Joe rides, hurry up, get out, Jim rides, you'll have your bracket winner who advances. They'll finish Bobby, the discipline.
Will the horses, but like, will there be a this maybe is my dumb question to the interview right off the bat. So is like one arena your team's arena and the other arena Charmaine James team's arena, and so your bareback rider and your bronc rider and bull rider come out of this side and Charmaine's come out of that side? Is that the way we're going to watch it, and then they go back to back like that in the riding events?
Yeah, in the timed events it will be like that. In the riding events, the bareback riding will take place at the same end because you have the same judges, right? So you wouldn't want to have different judges judging on this side versus this side. And so
we've
tried to figure out how could you do it simultaneously and haven't quite got to the point where you could just be bucking to it. And I think the nature of the rough stock events is you want to be able to watch this one, then you want to be able to watch this one, not I'm going to pick one, you know? So it's a little different because it's not timed. You know, anybody can understand the first person to complete the course wins, whether it's a barrel racing or the breakaway roping or what have you. So and there's some other, you know, there's some other nuances to it that are going to make it a little easier for the casual fan to understand that, you know, some things that we've taken out, like for instance, we've taken out crossfire, we've taken out, it's while there's a barrier penalty, it's more like there's a line of scrimmage that you can't cross before the light turns green. Right. So, so the way the boxes will be set up will be like, more like a sort of like a world. If anybody who's familiar with World Series of team ropings would be a little bit like that, in that the animal will have a little further head start in where, how far out the chute is from the back of the box, which will be different in each discipline. But the fact is the horse won't be able to cross the line in front of the horse before the light turns green. And in the barrel race, it's going to be a little bit the same. They're going to be held in a box with a gate, and the only people that can help in any of the boxes or with any of the teams are teammates. So there won't be anybody, you know, like in the timed events, like in the barrel racing, the Charmaine's barrel racer starts in the box, the gate's closed. It'll be up to them to decide when they open the gate and how much of a run they have at that line of scrimmage, right? Because when the light turns green, the time starts. And so you don't want to be like green light, okay, let's go. Like there's going to be some strategy to it, and but only your teammates can help. And so,
that's interesting. Forgive me for interrupting. That's interesting because, you know, you and I both know there's some barrel horses that barrel racers will start up close to the mouth of an alleyway, and some that they'll try to blast from the back of the alleyway. And so you got to figure, I'm assuming you got to kind of figure out the timing on all that. Just based on your horse and how your horse would handle that situation. There may not be a very, now that I think about it, the way it's set up, there's not going to be a very long alleyway one way or the other, is there? It's going to be a pretty short run to the mouth of the gate to get into the arena.
Yeah. From the gate into the arena will be short. That from the eye, like they'll have plenty of stopping, you know, like when the American, when they ran. And so the patterns will be that they'll run a little bit of an angle into the arena, which gives them, when the American used to be at AT&T and they went straight, remember they had just a dead stop, and it was hard on the horses. And so they've angled a little bit, so they have a little more room, a little more stopping distance, but it'll be interesting to see where that line of scrimmage is put and how much of a run you could get at it, because it would be like in the roping, right? If you leave too soon, you get a penalty, right? You break a barrier. So it'll be the same in the barrel race. So if you cross that line of scrimmage before that lights turn green, there's a 10-second penalty.
Hmm. Interesting.
So you don't want to be too far off of it. You don't want to be, you know what I mean? So it's going to be fun watching, and they'll run through the discipline. There'll be three matches in the first bracket. There'll be three matches, and they'll run through that discipline. So there'll be six competitions that will take place, and then they'll go right into the second bracket. And so when you're watching the bareback ride, you're going to watch, you'll watch three matches, and then you'll watch two matches, and you'll watch the final match, and then they'll go to the steer wrestling.
Oh, got it. Okay. I understand.
So it'll be pretty fast paced, and then you'll know. And so the ultimate goal is the team with the most gold medals. You win a gold medal by being your discipline champion. So if my bareback rider wins that final bracket, then we get a gold medal. Okay. So the way the numbers work out, it's going to come down to a head-to-head match between there will ultimately be two teams who have the most gold medals but don't have seven.
Right.
And they'll have one more match at the end. And so the strategy, there's a lot of different strategies that'll take place, and some of them I don't think that we've even discovered yet. But whatever athlete you use in the first bracket can't be the same athlete you use in the second bracket.
So that was one of my questions I was going to ask you, Bobby, is are you Lindsey Rosser Sumter is your assistant coach. That's a boy. You want to talk about a high power couple of coaches right there. When you're drafting teams, how many people do you draft? How many bareback riders, how many bronc riders? And are you drafting like a starting lineup and then reserves, or how does that work?
So the five of the six teams are drafting. Our team, the Free Riders, is comprised all of qualifiers, which I'll get into here in a minute. But the way the draft works is tomorrow is the deadline to declare yourself eligible for the draft. So February 15th, that's the deadline. We have over 1,100 people who've declared themselves for the draft.
Wow.
And so those five teams' judges are looking at those lists right now. And they're trying to figure out who their picks are. Yesterday, they drew for draw order in the draft. And they'll, you know, it'll be just like any other, you know, team's draft, in that, you know, this team gets first draft pick. You know, what are they going to pick? If I'm Sid Steiner and I got first round draft pick, I'm probably going to pick Rocker and the bareback riding to make sure I get it. They can do some trading. It's going to be, you know, but it'll all be, so 16 total teammates on each team, two in each discipline. There will be alternates, but those alternates will be for, the day of show. Basically, if somebody got hurt and we needed someone to fill in, basically these alternates could go to any team.
Got it.
Okay. But so the draft will take place. There's a private draft that's going to take place in Fort Worth, and then it'll take them a little bit of time to get their trade straightened out. They'll get all the media and everything put together. And then, let me look at my calendar so I'm not wrong. The 27th of February is the private draft. And then the 12th of March will be the public reveal of that draft, when they have all the media and everything put together for all those athletes that are chosen for the draft. Now, what's unique about the Free Riders, which is the WCRA team, is this is everybody who could qualify. These are all the people who didn't get picked, right? And so first and second place at Rodeo Corpus is who will make up the team for the Free Riders.
Oh, that's your team then.
Gotcha. That's our team. Okay. Yeah. And so we're the only team where, if you're out there today and you're like, I'm not a household name in rodeo. I mean, here's the thinking. The thinking is, and I've been on these coaches calls, is that they're going to get the top 10 most, you know, well-known, you know, obviously these are the best picks. We're going to take the top 10. We're going to have them on our team. Well, I got a little bit of an axe to grind with these guys, because they're already writing us off. They don't even know who the qualifiers are yet.
Yeah.
Right. And I told them, I said, don't forget, that everybody who's on the free riders just came off a major win the week before. They all just won first or second at Rodeo Corpus.
Right.
And so to me, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I don't like being rode off because I've got the skills, the ability of these top 10 people, but just because I'm not a popular name in rodeo, just because I can't go put 200 days, you know, a year on the road to go prove it, doesn't mean that I'm not able to compete with them. And so if you've got a chip on your shoulder and you want to have a chance to go and prove it, come join us at the free riders. Cause I mean, that's what I want, you know? And I just think that you look at the coaches list, you know, you got Fred Whitfield and Cody Ohl, Charmaine James, Trevor Brazil, Sid Steiner, and then you've got myself. Okay. So those are the coaches. Those coaches, in the last two calls, kind of running their mouth a little bit about us and the fact that the you know, the free riders or the bench warmers, like, come on. I'm here to tell you, these guys will show up out of Corpus. And when I tell them what those coaches have been saying about them, they're going to have blood in their eye. And I think it's going to make a great competition. I'm looking forward to it.
Bobby, let me ask you a question that I don't think we touched on, and that is eligibility for the draft. You mentioned like 1,100 people. The WCRA's virtual rodeo qualifier is key to all of this, right? You have to be involved in that to be eligible, correct?
For the draft declarations, you do not.
Okay.
Yes, sir. But to qualify to have a chance to qualify to be on the free riders, you certainly do, because you'd have to qualify. So to get to Rodeo Corpus, to touch on that, just be in the top 20 of the leaderboard. And so you can go to WCRARodeo.com and you can go on there and you can say, you know, click on the leaderboard for Rodeo Corpus Christi. And there's going to be points. If you're new to this, you're going to be like, I don't know what 400 points means. Well, 400 points is, you know, like if that's what it takes to make it in the steer wrestling, that's what it takes, you know, to win a round at a D1 rodeo. Like we have a points exclamation chart. Everything that you need to know is on that website. But the bottom line is, if you want to have a chance to look, the winning team gets $500,000. So you want to come join a winning team. I feel like our team is going to be the winning team. Everybody's coming out of Corpus with momentum. They're fueled by, you know, the desire to go and prove themselves on a huge stage. And so, you know, try to go to, you know, get in that top 20, go to Rodeo Corpus Christi. I did the math at Rodeo Corpus Christi. And if you come in through the wild card round, you win clear through, you can win like $32,000 there.
Wow.
Right. So the rodeo itself, you know, is getting a little overshadowed in the fact that it's the qualifier for the Kid Rock Rock and Rodeo, but it is a tremendous rodeo in itself. In the riding events, we've got Frontier Rodeo, who's going to bring their best stock. They're bringing Championship Rodeo as well.
Wow.
Going to have even pins of horses there. The bull riding. Now, you might have noticed that when I rattled off the disciplines at the Kid Rock Rock and Rodeo, there's not bull riding. The reason why is because it happens right during the PBR World Finals, and all their bull riders will have already been on about five by then, and their bodies need a break Friday. And so no bull riding. But at Rodeo Corpus Christi, if you win the bull riding, then you're into the redemption round at the PBR World Finals. And so talk about a springboard.
Yeah.
You know, these other guys go to the Unleash the Beast and the Velocity Tour bull ridings all year long to have a chance to make it to the PBR World Finals. And you could, if you're on the outside of that looking in and you're a bull rider and you say, hey, I want to have a chance at that big money, you could find yourself very well Sunday in AT&T at the PBR World Finals should you do well at the redemption round. So it's a fantastic opportunity. So there's chance after chance after chance within the WCRA to be involved in this. And so I just think that's so cool because, you know, you're familiar with it and some of the listeners will be familiar with this, but years ago when the ERA took place, its main criticism was this is just for the pros and there's no way for the challengers to have a chance to play. Right. And right, so here's a new concept that now you've got pros picking pros. But the difference is here's a new avenue for the qualifiers to come in, and the qualifiers could smoke them, I think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're really excited about it. And I think that this is the first of what we hope is more events like this that can complement what's going on in rodeo and put more money in people's pockets, give more recognition and, you know, opportunity to people who wouldn't otherwise have it.
Yeah. By the way, just so folks understand, the notes that I got about all of this, each winning team member, $27,778. And I don't think that's all they're going to win, because $500,000 goes to the winning team, and $500,000 will be paid out to individual contestants in various other ways. So this could be a rodeo.
Well, there's also appearance fees. And so, I mean, you could be on a good team and have a bad day. You're going to get your appearance fee. And if your team wins, you're still going to get the 27.5. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the money's great. Listen, the money's great, but I'm here to tell you, never in my career was there an opportunity to go nod my head in this type of environment. Like, I just think that's going to be so cool. And then don't lose sight of the fact that in between, you know, Kid Rock plays sets of music during the event, right? So, I mean, you know, no disrespect to the sound men at the rodeos, but we've heard all the hair band songs for years, you know, playing while we're riding. We haven't heard Kid Rock. And just to have that environment and that energy and that new group of fans and people who's going to be in that amazing stadium, like, I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bobby, when do nominate, just to make sure everybody knows about the Corpus Christi opportunity, when do nominations close for the rodeo in Corpus Christi?
Thanks for asking the question. I should know the answer to really quickly. It is April. It's like the April 14th, I think.
Okay. Corpus is in May. That. Yeah. Corpus is in May. Yeah. So that gives everybody some time.
Yeah. Yeah. Corpus is May 7th, 7th through the 11th. The Kid Rock Rock and Rodeo is May 17th.
Right.
And I believe that the segment closes for Rodeo Corpus on the either on the 14th or the 21st of April. And I apologize that I don't know that right off the top of my head.
Go to the WCRA's website and you can find all of that. And we'll obviously talk more about it as time goes by. You're as excited about this as you've been excited about anything in a while, I think. Sounds to me like.
It's just totally different. I mean, it's even different in what's going to happen on the dirt. You know, I mean, there's been format changes. There's been lots of things that we've tried that have been good, and some of them haven't. But you know, this is going to be easy for people to watch. It's going to be exciting. Whether you're an old rodeo fan who's seen everything that there is to see, or you're someone who's never watched rodeo, you're both equally going to be entertained during this.
Yeah.
And then for the athletes, I mean, what an awesome opportunity.
You're in the horse business. I asked Fred Whitfield and Cody Ohl the other day, I asked them, it's funny you mentioned these guys, Coach is kind of jabbing at you a little bit, because Fred and Cody are going to probably be jabbing at each other the whole time this is going on. And we all know Sid can probably jab with the best of them. This has got to be kind of fun for you with these coaches, because, these are all guys you rodeoed with. You competed with all these guys and with Charmaine at some point or another.
Yeah, when they called me and asked me to be involved, and they rattled off the coaches list, it's just like, well, it's a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be friends when we hit the dirt out there, though. So we'll be friends again after. But yeah, they've been talking it up a little bit too, but. You know, I got to stick up for my people, because I see them every time we hold the WCRA event and there's somebody, some unknown that comes out of nowhere and blasts the pros. Like, that's the underdog dream, right? I mean, that's what it, of course, everybody loves and appreciates great talent. But then what I've noticed in any sport, you just look at the Super Bowl last week. How many people were rooting for the Niners because Brock Purdy isn't Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
You either appreciate Patrick Mahomes because he's an outstanding quarterback, an individual, and a winner, and has been winning. But how many people hated Tom Brady just because all he did was win? There's nothing to hate. He's just that good. But, you know, in rodeo, I see the same thing. People, you are either on one side of it or the other. They just love and appreciate the great talent of the winner, or they're rooting for the underdog, the up and comer, the rising star, you know, which is who we represent. So I think there's a lot that people are going to be able to root for and enjoy.
5 years, $17 million paid out to the athletes. Is that right for the WCRA at this point? This strikes me as something that will grab the attention, not just of rodeo contestants, but you mentioned the tickets are going really, really fast at AT&T Stadium, which we've had rodeos at AT&T. We've never had one where it was full. And I think if that place were full or close to full, it would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine that this affiliation with somebody like Kid Rock and having his name stamped on this thing is not going to attract, you know, one of the things that we've always tried to do in one way, shape, or form in this sport, you've worked really hard at it in your life, Bobby, is to attract a new audience. And one of the ways to do that is to attract mainstream attention. And having Kid Rock's name stamped on something like this, to me, garners some media, garners some attention, garners some buzz, garners a lot of buzz. I just, you know, I really find that this is an opportunity to expose this industry to a whole lot of brand new people. Am I right in saying that?
No, you're 100% right. And I'll just elaborate on that a little bit. He did more than stamp his name on this. He's a partner in the event. And as a partner in the event, he's been involved from its formation. And so he and Sean Gleason have been working hand in hand to put this thing together. Hmm. And, you know, he's been responsible for some of the decisions and will also be going forward. And so, you know, and his crew is going to be there, you know, on the arena floor in there helping put things together as well. And I mean, they're a part of marketing this. I've seen him on all kinds of mainstream shows promoting it already. You know, him himself, he's got plenty to do, I'm sure. Right. And here he is promoting a rodeo. And so if you get an A-list performer like him involved in rodeo and promoting rodeo, you know, granted, there's going to be others too. And so I think this is going to prove a concept that'll work. And I think that there's opportunities for other people to be involved and other ways for, you know, different companies and, you know, entertainers of the like to be involved. And so it's just the beginning of really something that's really going to be great, I think.
Bobby Moat joining us from the WCRA and the coach of the Free Riders at Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. Bobby, I'm just going to throw this out there. Is there anything we've missed? Is there anything that I haven't asked you about or that you've gone through as good an explanation as I've heard as to how this thing's all going to work and how it's all going to come together? What have I missed? What haven't you had a chance to talk about that you want to visit about before we go?
Just don't procrastinate. Like if this is something that you want to be involved with, like if you don't understand, I think it's sort of a foregone conclusion that if you're not a, you know, household name in rodeo and just did well at the NFR last year, that you may not be drafted. But there is a guaranteed avenue to get in through the WCRA. And so I would encourage you to look into it. And if you don't understand how it works, we have click the contact us link on our website. You'll talk to a person that will help you. You can send an email, you can send a message, any way that you prefer. We'll help you figure out how to do it. But the basic premises of it is that you go to the rodeos or jackpots that you're already going to. You go on the WCRA app, you nominate it before you compete. You say, I'm going to such and such barrel race or breakaway roping or rodeo here on this date. You pay your nomination fee. If you place, you earn points. Those points go to a leaderboard. That leaderboard qualifies you to Rodeo Corpus Christi. You show up, you pay no entry fees. You get a chance to ride or rope for the $600,000 purse there at Rodeo Corpus. It's a great format. It's a great venue, great committee, hospitality. You know, the whole idea there and the thing that we've worked so hard to do in the WCRA is make it as even a playing field as possible. so that your skill is the thing that determines if you advance, not luck of the draw, not politics. You know, we don't care what flag you wave when you come riding in the arena. It doesn't matter. It comes down to how do you do that day on the dirt. And so if you want to have a chance at that and you know, that great event and ultimately a chance to be on the free riders team to take it to all these elite coaches and other teams, then come join us.
Go to the WCRS website. You can get all the details. Bobby Moat. Bobby, it's such a pleasure to always visit with you. And boy, if there is one person who has, from time to time, stuck his neck out to, and I've known Bobby for a long time. We've been friends for a long time. If there's one guy who has stuck his neck out to try to figure out ways to improve the sport of rodeo, I think it's Bobby Moat. And I really mean that, Bob. And I just really think that you deserve a lot of credit for taking some risks. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. You always were willing to take the shot and occasionally take the hits. And for that, I think you deserve a lot of credit. I really do. Thank you for all the try you've put into all of this through the years.
Well, I appreciate it. None of what I've, you know, dreamt up or had the fortune to be a part of would be possible without being surrounded by it's just a great team. You know, everybody, you know, I've had the right people around me at the right time since the beginning, which has been, you know, key to any of it, because you can't do everything. And there's a lot of stuff I'm not good at all. So I've just, you know, I've been really fortunate to be surrounded by the right people. And, you know, there's just a lot of people that believe it could be better.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you start marching in that direction, you start to pick up momentum and other people start to join in with you. And so everybody who's been a part of anything that we've done in rodeo to try to help or change rodeo has come on their own accord because they believed in, you know, change, believed in direction. That's not to say that rodeo is broken. Rodeo, I think, is doing better than it's ever done.
I agree.
But I still think there's room for improvement.
Yep.
And the thing that I like about this team's format is it doesn't interrupt in any way what's happening in traditional rodeo. In fact, it just helps it. It's going to get more eyeballs to it and more money, hopefully. So, you know, I think it's good. It's good for everybody.
Bobby, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Certainly. Thank you.
Bobby Moat from the WCRA. That is our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes featured interview. Classic Equine, play to win. We are Classic Equine, Classic Rope. Success is in your hands. Check him out, ClassicEquine.com, Classic Rope. .com. And that's it for this week's edition of the Steve Kenyon Podcast. I'm wheels up, headed to California. We'll see some of you at the Gold Country Pro Rodeo in Auburn, California this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's still a few tickets available, but they're selling fast. Thanks to Wrangler, to Justin Boot Company, to Resistall, to Equinity, it's all about the horse, to Prefer, to Unbeatable Feeds, to M2 Ranch Jerky, to the Gooding Pro Rodeo in Gooding, Idaho, and to the Grand View at Las Vegas, to Classic Ropes and Classic Equine, our sponsors and partners. God bless everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon. This is the Steve Kenyon Podcast.